Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 9:15 and again at 11 a.m. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. In today's sermon titled, The Scattering, Reverend David Williams tells us that we are always seeking a relationship with God that gives us a sense of purpose. But we are often distracted by things that keep us from focusing on the relationships of support and grace that are all around us. We have to set aside our brokenness of our lives before we will be able to rebuild the relationship with God. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather in God's presence today in a time that can be a time of busyness and scurrying and preparation, a time when we can feel like we're pulled in dozens of different directions as we try to prepare for the feast of this week, as we try to prepare ourselves for the coming expectations of a season of giving. It should be a time of joy and celebration, but too often it becomes a time of distraction and a time of anxiety, a time when we feel torn in so many different directions that we just don't know where we are. And it is from that place that we come into this place today. This place where we're really trying to reconnect with God and reconnect with one another, to have a deeper sense of who we should be, even though outside of here we feel torn and broken. And the first step as we come into this place is to admit how scattered we feel. So let's do that together now, together praying the prayer of confession that's in the bulletin. Please join with me. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We fail to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have refused to hear the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear now the assurance of Christ's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. I'll be reading from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. You can follow along on page 725 of your Pew Old Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all of the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they will not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Even though it's cold and feels like winter, and even though we know we're getting into the last week of November, it does feel like Thanksgiving has gotten here earlier this year. I don't know why it should feel that way, because it usually comes at the same time every year. But it seems to have rushed upon us. Like in particular, the folks who put together the Presbyterian pastor's planning calendar must have gotten confused with it, because this year they had Thanksgiving last Thursday. Maybe that's just part of their plan to keep pastors on their toes and get you preaching that Thanksgiving sermon one Sunday too early and showing up at your in-law's house a full week ahead of time. You know? So it's always good to check with other people, because we can get distracted. But it feels like it is suddenly here, and it's a day that really does demand a lot of us. I mean, it's a busy, busy time, because we are a nation of folks who are scattered all over the place. Our family, our friends are everywhere. I mean, I know even for people in Poolsville, yes, there are family members who are elsewhere. It's not all here. And that means that this is a day that requires a tremendous amount of national effort to pull together. It involves a lot of travel across crowded highways and byways, an absurd number of hours sitting in traffic or in a bus on I-95, coming down or going up, doesn't really matter, there's going to be traffic whichever way you're headed. It's a day we put a tremendous amount of effort into. And it's not just the getting there, which can take days, but it's also those hours of preparation as all the different dishes come together and everything has to be heated and reheated and prepared. And, you know, it's a lot simpler when it's a tofurkey. You know, you just put it in there, heat it up, wait. And it's... But it takes so much energy to make that day come off. All around this meal, all around this time when we're gathering together to sit at table. And what strikes me is, maybe it's just that I get older and time is shorter, relatively speaking, but it seems like all of this effort is for a meal that now appears to last maybe like, what, 7.5 minutes before my boys are like, all right, we're done. Can we leave? Can we go? Can we go? Or maybe that's just because they're teenagers, and teen boys eat in a particular way, in a particular pattern. Especially my oldest, who at the Thanksgiving table, you have to watch your fingers. You know, just don't get in the way of that as it inhales. You might lose something. So much effort. For what, though? Because it seems like all this effort is spent to come together for that brief moment, and then all of that energy is spent, and there's just a vast stack of dishes waiting, and everyone scatters, drifting off in a tryptophan-induced haze to disappear into their various screens. It's a strange thing, this holiday, where we travel thousands of miles and spend thousands of dollars so that we cannot spend time together. And there are so many new ways to not spend time together now. So many new ways we can choose not to get reacquainted, not to have conversations with people we might not have talked with for a year. We can disappear into our iPhones, we can disappear into our galaxies, we can drift into those apps because, you know, it's Thanksgiving and the 543 Facebook friends we kind of sort of know really need to see that carefully app-retouched image of the meal we just inhaled. But we'll do that right after we pitch it out on Instagram and a little before we tweet it and slightly before we pitch out that vine of Uncle Don snoring gape-mouthed in the Barca Lounger. And there are other places we can vanish. New places. We can vanish into our PS4s or our Xbox Ones, or we can go downstairs and use one of them little desktop boxes to stream, I don't know, whatever we feel like catching up with on Netflix. Maybe a chance to watch the Breaking Bad Thanksgiving special. Heartwarming, I'm sure. And there have always been distractions. There's the game, of course, always the game, existing, I think, for the primary reason for relatives to who should be doing the dishes because they didn't put in a lot of work on the front end to go and sit and drift off to sleep. And if you like to avoid being around people in the prep work before the meal, there's always been the watching of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Every year, every single year since 1924, there's been that Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's a tradition. It's this cavalcade of these huge, overinflated cartoon floats bobbing along the road, I think mostly to remind us that maybe we should think about going for a walk after the meal. How's that feel about it? If you read the ancient fable of the story of the creation of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which you can on Wikipedia, the story that business tells about it is that this whole thing was the idea of Macy's employees. In the 1920s, those were mostly recent urban immigrants. And they were so proud of having come to this new country where they were free to worship, free to live, where they could find work to sustain themselves, that they wanted to celebrate it by marching in a parade on the morning of Thanksgiving. What better way to celebrate this new country, to celebrate before the evening meal that they were all going to share that night as they, in this new nation, took time to remember the bounty of a land and its freedoms. It was a fun thing. Well, that was 1924, and this is not. This is still barely 2013. And this year, 2013, for the first time, Macy's is offering another Thanksgiving distraction. This one, taking you far, far away from the dishes, well out of your rec room, into your car, to go sit in a long line, to get to the mall on Thanksgiving evening. Because Macy's is opening up all of its stores on Thanksgiving Day. 8 p.m., Thanksgiving Day, all kinds of exciting doorbuster opportunities to they're loyal consumers. A chance on Thanksgiving to leave the house and wait in long lines at the mall to buy stuff that you could just as easily buy next week at exactly the same discount. It's opened up on Thanksgiving Day, as is now Best Buy and Toys R Us and Walmart and scores of other major retailers who will be open so you can get away from family on Thanksgiving Day. Currently the holder of the record for being most open. This year, Kmart and Sears, which is now the same company, will be opening up their stores for a shopping marathon beginning at 6 a.m. on the morning of Thanksgiving Day. It will remain open for 41 hours straight, giving their employees an opportunity to spend a little overtime away from their families on Thanksgiving. It's a peculiar trend in our culture. And it feels like another way that we as a people are losing sight of ourselves, becoming more scattered, being more pulled away from those things that give life together value. And today's passage from Jeremiah talks about a people who were in the midst of being scattered. Jeremiah was directly challenging the people he saw as the shepherds of Judah, the shepherds of Israel, those in power, those who held the reins of leadership, those who were charged with guiding the lives of the people. In the passage we just heard, Jeremiah lays in to the folks who were in positions of power. He says, "You have misled the people. You are tearing them apart from one another. And that soon in your place, God will find other leaders who will not do that." That metaphor of a flock being driven to the four winds is great, but what's the context? Where does this come from? Looking to where Jeremiah was writing and looking to the text around this passage, we get a better sense of the why of it. Historically, the context was 600 years before Jesus, in the time of the Babylonian diaspora. Anybody know what diaspora means? What is a diaspora? It's a scattering. If you look at the sermon title, it really is. It's a stretch. And it comes from a Greek word, which is diaspora. So just, you know, that, I'm sure that would clear it up a great deal. It is a scattering. And scattering was the official policy of the Babylonian Empire towards nations that had resisted them and had to be crushed. The way they kept those people broken and defeated and powerless was that they would arrive, destroy things, as always the destroying, and then they would take the people into slavery and scatter them throughout the empire so that their culture, who they were, their identity would be broken. They'd leave people on the land to work it, but all of the leadership would be spread to the four winds so that that nation would lose its sense of itself and its identity. But it's hard to scatter a people unless they're already scattering themselves. And that was what Jeremiah challenges in the text today. If you read earlier on into Jeremiah 22, the prophet lays in aggressively to the royal household of Judah and the people who formed the power of that culture. He challenged them because he saw that they were enriching themselves at the expense of their people. They were drawing in as much wealth as they could, building themselves huge houses of only the finest materials, taking from those in need and enriching themselves, and not caring at all about the covenant that God had made with all of the people, not caring at all about justice or righteousness, and only focusing on their own prosperity. And then if we go after the passage we just heard, Jeremiah continues going after those people who were in leadership, saying, "What you are telling the people is wrong." And what were they saying? They were saying what mattered was prosperity. That's all that matters. All that matters is that we are wealthy and fine. Just pour your resources into this system and everything will be okay. No calamity will come. Don't worry about it. In both instances, Jeremiah is challenging that leadership that is using their power for the sole purpose of amassing wealth for themselves. Using their power to persuade and convince those just to keep pouring money into king and pouring money into temple and pouring money into the market, which of course means that the king and the temple and the market and the people who have money will simply keep having more. Those kinds of shepherds are not the shepherds that God wants for God's people, because their interest in stirring the hungers of their people goes no deeper than satisfying their own needs and desires. And that is an unfortunately familiar place for our culture, where we are progressing predictably, but in a weird and not terribly heartening way. I preached my first sermon here not that long ago, before Thanksgiving. I mean, it was just like 2 years ago. And that sermon was focused on Black Friday and how, I joked, Black Friday was being turned into Black Friday weekend. It was becoming the whole point of the season that someday we'd get to Black Thursday. And I was joking about that 2 years ago. Just 2 years, a flicker of time. And now suddenly the day is another day to sell, and people are being made to work, and we are being asked to shop instead of spending time giving thanks and getting to know those around us, reconnecting with friends and family. And that feels to me not like progress, but like a predictable regression, like we are getting weaker, forgetting the best graces of who we are as a people, and just getting driven further and further from one another as the products and stressors and anxieties that define consumer culture just spread deeper and deeper into the heart of our society. And that makes us weaker, just as a scattered flock, a flock of sheep who've been torn from one another and distributed, is weak and vulnerable to predation. Now, the folks who are doing this will tell you that there are reasons for it. If you read business blogs and business journals, you hear their responses, like the response of the executives running Macy's, that they're just being flexible. They're just accommodating the desires of some of their consumers who really would like to have that extra day to shop. We are just responding to demand, they say. And my response to that tends to be balderdash, or other words beginning with B that aren't sanctuary friendly. If you are creating the demand in the first place, then that dog don't hunt. Billions and billions of dollars are spent in the United States every year on advertising to stir desire in the hearts of consumers. That's the whole point of advertising, to make you want, to make you desire, to make you feel that you need something. And if you look, get the Washington Post, for example, and then you think about the insert that comes with that in the days before Thanksgiving, and those ads are like a, remember there used to be phone books? They're like a phone book. It's this huge, thick thing filled with the effort to stir a desire in us to not be part of our household, to be shopping, to be out and consuming on a day when we could be together, sharing a meal. It's a difficult trend to see in our culture, and it seems like an inexorable progression. Shopping on Thanksgiving. Why not shopping on Christmas? Let's have the stores open so that we can bring our gift cards right then and cash them in. Why would we want to spend any time doing anything else? Hopefully 2 years from now that will not be the thing I'm annoyed about, but I don't know. It seems that we move in that direction. But turning away from that path just requires our own effort and our own choosing. We have to look at this influence as a cultural influence that we have to turn from. We have to choose not to do it. We have to name it for what it is and then not act on it. There are times when it's good to be attuned to culture, but we don't always have to follow its lead. And as people whose king, whose ruler, is the one who came into the world to reconcile us to one another and to draw us into deeper connection with one another, not based on power and not based on wealth, but based on the gracious love of our Creator, we should be able to resist those things that call us to be scattered and hungry and anxious for things we don't need, especially on that one day a year when we try to celebrate the gifts that God has given us, our families, our friends, this creation, this nation, our freedom to worship, our freedom to be together. That's the day we should celebrate that and not be in a long line of cars trying to get into the mall. So don't do that. I don't like using the pastoral imperative that often, but please don't fall prey to that song this year. Take the time as the blessing that it is. Take that time, take that space, be together with your families, be with friends, be with your loved ones. That time is sacred. Share space together. Yes, you might be passed out in front of the TV, but at least you're in the house together. Be in that place and take the time to talk, reconnect, use Thanksgiving as a time to be thankful for life and family and friends. Because as we know, as we walk this path together, that's not just the purpose of that one day. It is, in fact, the purpose of our everyday. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen. Things do change in societies. They do. They transition. And that can be tough if you like things to stay comfortable and the same. So I try to adapt. But watching over these decades as days of Sabbath, days of rest, days set aside for family and building up of relationships, watching as those things have been broken down, boundary by boundary, it just bugs me. It bothers me. It cheeses me off in the same way that when, you know, I see someone messing with one of my kids, it, you know, it's like, grr, I say to myself. Looking at this week, looking at this day that's a national day, I'll admit it's not one of our Christian sacred days, but it's a national day that has been set aside for really some of the best graces of our national identity, giving thanks for the land, giving thanks for family and freedom. Watching that day get dissolved by this anxious consumer hunger just troubles me. And so I will ask again, don't encourage these folks this week. Take Thanksgiving to give thanks. Take Thanksgiving as a day for friends, as a day for family, as a day, yeah, to take a little time to rest and give thanks even in your sleeping on the sofa for the opportunity to do that. Let it be a day when your life is not defined by the consumer hungers that scatter us from one another. Because as we follow Jesus, as we follow someone whose whole purpose here was to reconcile us to each other, to strengthen us in the relationships that really matter, it's important that we take time to value and honor and build those relations. So do that this week. What you do with the rest of the weekend is fine, but take Thanksgiving as a day to give thanks and be together. Jesus, we kind of want it that way, I think. And so now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may it be and abide with all of us, for today, for tomorrow, and for our whole lives long. Amen.